Good morning. Glad to be back, and I'm glad all of you could make it this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day. And I'd like to welcome all of our visitors as well. We're continuing our series on the life of a disciple, and we're breaking down what a true disciple looks like. I think so often we sometimes forget what a true disciple looks like, and what's the inner workings of the life of a disciple. We know that the life of a disciple is not an easy one. It's not, because we are called, as I have spoken about before, we are called to make sacrifices, whether it's with time, sacrificing time to do what the Lord has called us to do. And that time can expand into family time, time with friends, whatever it may be. Maybe time with hobbies. A true disciple will also sacrifice friends and maybe family for the Lord. And so the life of a disciple is not an easy one. But is it worth it? Absolutely. And so today we're going to talk about the life of a disciple, a teacher. When we think about a teacher, we think of one who stands up at a black chalkboard, or today marker boards, or maybe not even that, technology has advanced. And we picture a lady or a man up there writing problems on the board and teaching. But you don't know your teacher too well outside of school, do you? You don't know what they are involved in and what their hobbies are, because a teacher, once their job is done, they go off and go back home and enjoy their life. But as a disciple, we are called to be a teacher, not only through word, through presenting and teaching material, but by example. As a disciple, yes, it's easy to come and teach someone the gospel, to teach them the truth, but are we being examples? Are we living by what we are teaching? A teacher is not one who just simply presents the material, but is one who lives it, who is an example. When we look at the apostles and even Christ himself, he was an example to his followers. The apostles, wherever they went, they were examples. They were living what they were preaching. Now, that doesn't mean they were perfect. Christ was perfect. But as men and women, we will not be perfect. We will not be sinless. We will make mistakes. But be an example, even for that time. Showing someone, I messed up. I humble myself and I go back to the Lord. Run to him. Repent and do what's right. Because you never know who's watching. And it's not just through teaching that we can convert someone. But through your life, you can convert someone. And so, the first thing we need to understand as a teacher, and it's not just me or the ones who do teach, it's all of us who are called to teach and preach. Not by word, but by action. Action must be taken. Action speaks louder than words. In Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Once again, when we look at this section, it's the character of a new man. It's what a new man looks like. It's what a Christian should look like. One who puts off the old, puts it to death, denies the old life, and puts on this new life in Christ Jesus. This is the vision of a new man, how we are to act. Not simply just by teaching the gospel, but by living it. You know, when we look at this section here, this is what we are to be doing, how we are to be acting. We are to be examples to those of the world. Are we doing such? Are we showing mercy? Are we kind? Do we show humility? Are we meek? Are we patient? That's a tough one right there, patience. Are we bearing with one another, forgiving one another? This is what we are called to do as disciples, as teachers. Not only to teach and speak, but to live it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. Paul would mentor him, would teach him all that he knew, so Timothy would be sent out eventually. And here with these letters, Timothy was in Ephesus, ministering to the church in Ephesus. Paul showed him the way, not simply by teaching, but by living. And so he's telling Timothy here to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. What happens if you get in the middle of it? Causes strife. That's what these foolish and ignorant disputes are all about. It causes division. People who are arguing with one another. And here's the hard part. And this is something that I am still learning as a young guy. As a servant of the Lord, we must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. How hard is that? Especially when someone is saying something and they're not seeing it. They're not thinking straight. They're not thinking logically. I mean, it is hard to be gentle in these situations. And we even see Paul at moments not show gentleness. But at the same time, this is what we are called to do, to approach them, to be gentle, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Now, there will come times when there is no correction to be made. They won't accept that correction. Absolutely. That's when we know it's time to part and to move on. Christ never dealt. He would try to correct, but if there is no correction, he would move on. We see that in his character. We see that with many of the apostles. They were tossed out of towns. Paul at one point was stoned and dragged out of a city. He would get up and go back in and then leave the next day and go to another place. But we need to know how to handle as we teach, because you will face opposition. And we know this. Not just by those in the world, but those who are blindly following false doctrine. It's a hard task to take and to deal with. Once again, our attitude, how we handle these situations, can be a teaching opportunity to not only those of the world, but those who are younger. As we look in Titus chapter 2, this is what Paul's letter to Titus, the older men were to be examples to the younger men, the older women, examples to the younger women. But going on down to verse 7 here of Titus chapter 2, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. I can tell you now, the younger generation, the younger people observe. I still observe to this day. I like to people watch. I like to watch how people interact with others, how they deal with certain situations. It's a unique thing to watch people interacting with one another. I worked at Kohl's for about a year, and it was during Black Friday. Let me tell you, it was a circus. I saw fights, and I even saw people threatening the employees because of deal. I remember this one problem that occurred. These graphic, now imagine, graphic t-shirts, you know, with graphics on them, cartoons, whatever. I think it was 2 for like $12, all right? Nothing too amazing. But this couple comes up to one of the registers, and thank goodness they didn't come to me. But the deal had went off. And this young girl that was running the cash register, I felt so bad for her because they started getting angry with her. She had nothing to do with it, calling her awful names. We had to call the manager, and of course the manager brings them to my cash register. Thankfully, they avoided me. I checked them out, and they were sent off. But it was an awful situation to see how people treat one another, especially with big deals. I remember years ago, Black Friday, when it was huge. Now you can go online and not have to go out. But I remember Tickle Me Elmo. I don't know how many of you remember that. That was a popular toy. People were killing each other over a toy. Is that what you want your grandkids to know about you? Is that what you want them to see? Not even your grandkids, your kids, your children. Do you want them to see you acting like that? That's not being a good example. Especially if the next day you go to worship after beating people over a TV or a toy. It's not a good look. Once again, older men are to be examples to the younger men. Older women are to be examples to the younger men. Once again, your life can be a testimony. Your life can convert people. If you are living truly to God, people are going to see. And you would be amazed at how big of a change you can make. But once again, being a teacher, it's important that you watch what you speak, watch what you teach, the words that come out of your mouth. Because we know the tongue is a powerful thing. Our tongue helps us to put the words out that need to come out. And I'll tell you, throughout my time, I have put my foot in my mouth so many times. And I've told people, it's probably going to continue to happen until I've learned how to think before I speak. Because words can hurt. Words can kill. That is a big truth in our world today. So many young men and young women have taken their own lives because of words. And it's a sad reality that that happens. In James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. Why weren't they to be teachers? Why were many of them not to be teachers? Well, one, we need to understand the background here. These individuals were not living right. They were not speaking right. They were being like the world. And so, once again, when you are a teacher, understanding no one will be perfect, sinless, we need to be careful in what we say, especially dealing with God's word, because we know teachers will be judged with a stricter judgment because they are handling the word of God. They are teaching, preaching it. That's not just to preachers, to elders, to deacons, to teachers. That's for all Christians. Once again, just like a ship is driven by a powerful wind, a little small rudder is controlling the direction on where the pilot wants to go. The horse puts bits in her mouth where they can control the horses. Once again, we need to learn how to control our tongue, but the tongue is a hard thing to control. In James chapter 3, going on, starting in verse 6, going on through this chapter here. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. I have seen many springs in my time, pure spring water coming down some falls. And you can drink from those, you're safe to do so. But there's no dirty water coming down off those springs. You know, I always was taught not to eat anything that came out of the Kanawha River, because that's where they would pour chemicals. And even now, there are still some people dumping sewage. That's somewhere you don't want to eat. That's something you don't want to put in your body or drinking wise. Once again, with our tongues, we can both bless and we can both curse. I have seen so many Christians in my time who struggle with cussing, corruptible words coming out of their mouth, but they still come and put on that mask and they bless God, worship God with their tongues. I've seen people, once again, who teach false doctrine, but they bless God. Once again, spewing out of their mouth is corruption. Spewing out of their mouth is defilement. As teachers, as disciples, we must watch what we say. We must make sure that we are both teaching right and living right. We can't be doing and living in sin and then coming and praising God. We must live as a great example, both through speech and through action. It's so hard, but it's something we must do. Once again, we are examples, not just in here between these four walls, but out there in the world. I have seen people be turned away from the truth, from Christ, because they see Christians preaching one thing but living another. And that's not a good thing. That's a terrible thing. We must be careful on how we are living and how we are speaking. You do not know who's watching. And so another part of being a teacher is teaching what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. No compromise. No compromise. There are so many who go beyond God's words, goes beyond what is written. They speak of things they don't understand. You know, if I don't understand something, I'm not going to speak on it. I'm going to first learn and study and see what God's word has to say before I speak. Because so many teach what people want to hear, not what they need to hear. So when we look first at 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will endure sound doctrine. Will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is a charge that many would take in preaching schools. And it's a charge that we are to take seriously as preachers. But all disciples should take this charge. All disciples. Whether it's in season and out of season, whether it's popular, not popular, whether it's what they want to hear, what they need to hear, we need to be ready to teach the whole counsel of God, regardless if they agree with it or not, because we, not just me, but all of us are commissioned to preach the whole counsel of God. If a teacher is teaching anything except truth, shut your ears. Because it's so important that we fill ourselves with the truth and not with garbage. And there's garbage that goes around social media, TV, news, whatever it may be. There's garbage all over the place. And if you fill yourself with enough garbage, guess what? You're going to be spewing out that same garbage. I've seen it happen over and over. As Christians, we are not to spew out garbage, but we are to spew out life. The word of God, which leads all to eternal life. In Luke chapter 6, starting verse 39. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 39. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they both not fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Can the blind lead the blind? Absolutely not. Who's he talking about here? The Pharisees. The Pharisees, you had these higher ups who taught the law, but guess what? They weren't obeying, they weren't living the law. 613 laws. Guess what? The Pharisees were not perfect, but they demanded that others follow every single law. There's no way. They were the blind leading the blind. A student, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who's perfectly trained will be like his teacher. You know, I have had people in my life who were not good teachers. Thankfully, I did not take after them. But I've had plenty who were good teachers, great teachers, who taught us and taught me and raised me up into who I am today. And I'm very thankful that God put those people in my life to help me be the man I need to be. We must understand and be able to figure out who's a good teacher and who's a bad teacher. And how can you do that? You can tell by their fruits. You can tell if they're teaching one thing but not living it, that's someone you should not follow. That's someone who you should not take after. But if you see someone who is both teaching and living what they're teaching, that's someone you want to pay attention to. That's someone you want to be like. But most importantly, the perfect example that we have is Jesus Christ. Therefore, be imitators of God. There is no other example that can live up to God. He is the perfect example. God is perfect in all his ways. Shouldn't we aim to be like him every day? That doesn't mean we're going to be like him, but we should aim to be at that level. It doesn't mean we're going to be ever. We will never reach that level. Which brings us back to our main text, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That word dwell, let the word of Christ dwell, live in you richly. Not the word of man, not the word from yourself, not what you believe, but the word of Christ. We see so many times Paul telling the churches, dwell in the doctrine of Christ. You know, we see him write to the Galatians. Galatians 1, he starts off, I'm shocked, I'm surprised that you have gone so far away quickly from what the doctrine we have brought to you, the doctrine of Christ. They had already fallen back into false doctrine, believing in it. The Corinthians had sin among them. The church there had sin within. And Paul would correct them. Paul would rebuke them and say, get it out. Withdraw from those. Correct those who are bringing this garbage in. Let the word of Christ live in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Go to Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Are we as disciples not only teaching truth, but living it as well? It's so easy to stand up here and to preach and teach the word of God. The hard part is living it. Because we are flesh, we are blood. We will not be sinless. We fall short daily. But thank God that we serve him. And that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, down here to die for us, giving us a way to obtain eternal life. And it is only through Jesus Christ in which we can obtain eternal life. In Christ himself, through his teachings, which we are to follow, the apostles who were inspired, chosen by God to be apostles. Every word that is spoken in this book, we are to teach and we are to live and not go beyond it. Are you doing it today, or are you of the world? If you are of the world, guess what? You are not a disciple. You are not a Christian. You're following the teachings of the world, not of Christ. And the words, the teachings of the world are going to condemn you, are going to send you to eternal punishment. Why continue that path? Why not give your life to Christ this morning? And this is how you do it. You must hear the word which has been preached to you. Romans 10:17. And then you must believe that word, Mark 16:15 and 16. Once again, if you've heard it, but you don't believe it, then you're not a Christian. But if you have heard it and you do believe it, then you must repent, change your life, change one's mind, put away, deny your old life, put it to death. It's no longer worth it. You know what Christ has to offer, and that's why you're doing this. Then you must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. If you confess me before my Father, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. But it doesn't stop there, like so many false doctrines teach. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Baptism is the only way to make contact with the blood of Christ. It's the only way to have your sins washed away. You go into the water having your old life, your old self, being put to death, buried, and you raise up out of the water, walking in newness of life. You are that new man that Paul talks about in Colossians 3. But we see Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26, 1 Peter 3:21. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. That's what we are called to do, is remain faithful once we are Christians. Not only teaching the truth, but living the truth as well. Or if you are a Christian, a disciple, and you have gone back into the world, you have given in to those desires. For you, it's death now. You have been separated from God. But thankfully, now is the time to come forward to repent and renew your walk with Christ. Once again, Christ is waiting with his arms wide open, willing to accept all who come and believe and obey. Yes, God loves you. Absolutely nothing will separate you from the love of God. But you must come to believe and obey and do as he has told us to do. So if you hear this morning and you're not a Christian, I pray that you take this time to give your life to him. Don't wait, for time is not on your side. Or if you are a Christian, the same thing applies to you. Time is not on your side. So if you hear this morning, you need any assistance, come forward. Allow the church to help you, to assist you in any way as we come and stand and sing.